In the second of the trilogy of the Hunger Games, Catching Fire, there's a very ominous scene that takes place between President Snow and Plutarch Heavenby, played by a very menacing Donald Sutherland, and the second actor, of course, is Philip Seymour Hoffman. And they're plotting, and it's a very sinister scene. And Snow looks at Plutarch and says, "We have to destroy Caithness, because as long as she remains alive, it gives hope to the provinces. If we destroy her, we destroy hope." Because hope is so fundamental to our lives as human beings. And as you know, the opposite to hope is hopelessness. And hopelessness often leads to fear. And fear can paralyze us. Fear can make us immobile. Fear can render us useless. It was the American president, Francis D. Roosevelt, who said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Fear was very much in the hearts and the minds of the people to whom the prophet Jeremiah was speaking to in our first reading today, some 7 centuries before the birth of Jesus. What was going on? The city of Jerusalem was besieged by the Babylonians. They were intent not only on destroying the city, but ostensibly wiping out the population. And they had been laying siege to the city of Jerusalem for some years, so much so that the food had long run out. People were killing rats and mice in order to find some sustenance. It was a very grim time. And you would have thought that Jeremiah, who's well known, of course, for being a prophet of doom, would have said to the people, "You've only got yourselves to blame." But that's not the message. The message is, don't fear. Remain hopeful. Because although from David's line we've received a whole lot of hopeless kings, someone is going to arise of the branch of David's line who is going to restore integrity and purpose to life. In the Christian dispensation, we understand that to be a prophetic statement about the person of Jesus Christ. Similarly, in the gospel that we heard from Luke, who's going to be our gospeler for the next liturgical year, we hear Jesus forecasting a time of great calamity. We need to remember that Luke wrote this gospel post the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in the year 70, some 30 years after the death of Christ. So he's writing it with a lens, in a sense, that's looking back. And the memory of the destruction of Jerusalem and the slaughtering of the people and the destruction of the temple would have been very fresh in the minds of those to whom Luke was writing, who had taken upon themselves the message of Jesus. They were unsettling times. But what is the message of Jesus? When the world appears to be collapsing and everything appears to be going wrong, That is the time for you to stand up, to be erect, to be alert, and above all, to not fear. Because that is the time when I am going to be closest to you. St. Bernard, who lived a long, long, long time ago in the 11th century, once said that there were three comings of Christ. The first coming we'll celebrate in a few weeks' time at the festival of Christmas. The second coming will be the time when Jesus comes in power and majesty, which is foretold in the scriptures. But the third coming is internal. The third coming is within you. The third coming is when you embrace Christ in your hearts. So St. Bernard tells us. How do we do that? How do we achieve that level of stability and confidence in a time when the world appears to be fracturing? The key is given to us by St. Paul. That second reading we heard today comes from the first letter of St. Paul to the Christians who were gathered in the city of Thessalonica, a Greek city. Do you know that that's the oldest piece of Christian writing that we possess? Paul's first letter to that church is the oldest piece of literature in the New Testament. So what's the message? The message is that you sustain yourself by expressing that love that Jesus showed to us in your own lives to one another. Love is the key. The self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ, which we express to one another as a living community. And it is that corporate love expressed within the community that will sustain us and will make certain that we are led to fulfill the potential that God intends for every person whose life is touched by him. That's Paul's central teaching. And I would suggest to you that given the times in which we live, that's not a bad message for us to receive. I say to those who are going to Adelaide, you go with the prayers and the love of your parish communities and your families, and you go in the name of the Diocese of Parramatta. Parramatta young people, wherever they go, are always enthusiastic. They're always noticed. Some of the bishops said to me last week, I wish we had vibrant young people in our diocese like you've got in your diocese. It happens because you're convinced and committed, and because you have made the decision to walk the journey of life with Christ. So carry that banner high when you go to Adelaide. Let the other young people know in Adelaide that Christ is alive. Christ's love is ever present within the 47 parishes that make up the life of this local church of Parramatta. Let them know that we in Parramatta do not fear, because our lives are built on love, not on fear. What happens to Caithness? I don't know. I haven't seen the third part yet. But what we know is that our destiny is one of love and of truth and of beauty. And it is all to be found in the mystery of God.